I hope that this exercise of thinking about your own life is helpful as you think about ministering to somebody else, whether it's a child, a teen, or an adult, is to recognize there is that process that we all go through. And if you don't recognize that, then sometimes there may be problems. So I've got a question here. People come from different backgrounds, have different responses to the gospel, and grow as Christians in different ways and at different rates. In light of this, we should not approach evangelism and discipleship we should approach it as seeing children as individual people, not just as groups. It's true they are a group, like you've got the fifth grade class, the third grade class, but we really want to see them as individuals. We should not assume that everyone will respond to the same way, to the same presentation at the same time. Can you think of any negative outcomes that could happen if you expect all children to respond in the same way to the same presentation at the same time? Can you see any negative outcomes that could happen?
I think it's an argument. It's a debate about the children's evangelism, right? Because I mean, I see people does that. They have a big evangelistic meeting, and they have all the call, and the people, I mean, children just come forward. And the argument will be a lot of children, they just like to come forward, right?
Sure.
Teacher. The other argument will be it's peer pressure, right?
So, sure.
They're going forward. Go to the front. Okay, I need to go too.
Sure.
So it's really so the setup for that kind of meeting is we are expecting the kids to respond the same way, right? Exactly the setup.
So it may not be a genuine. If they're doing it because of peer pressure or because of all the decorations or something, it may not be genuine.
So we could see, that maybe you have several of these kind of meetings. There will be some kids, they always come forward.
Right.
And so really they don't understand what...
Some kids get saved 10 times, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's a great. Thank you for pointing that out. Any other ideas? Possible negative outcomes if you expect it to happen for the same people at the same time? Sometimes the opposite can happen. Sometimes you assume the kids are not ready to accept the Lord. You might think, oh, they won't be ready for another 3 years. And then maybe they are. Maybe they do understand the gospel. They do understand that that's their only way to be saved. But they're not given that opportunity. And so you kind of have to see them individually. Another, a downside of seeing them all, trying to see them all on the same level, it's kind of frustrating when that doesn't happen. Okay, so let's look at the back and let's think about, well, what are the essential components of the gospel before we think about how to communicate it to children? I would say these are the five categories of what's the essential part of the gospel, and we're going to be looking at a picture of this as we go through. I'd like you to take this card. I need one more in the back. Could somebody pass this back? Because I'm on a leash right here. You see there's a couple of creases. Go ahead and fold it about forward and backward just so that it's flexible. Have you guys ever seen one of these? Or something like it? Nobody? You've seen a cube with these five colors? Have you?
Like a bracelet.
Bracelets. You can do anything with these five colors. Necklaces, t-shirts. You could do anything with these five colors and shapes. And what this represents is the five main areas of the gospel that I've got at the top of your page. Child Evangelism Fellowship is an organization that's all around the world. And they are dedicated to taking the gospel to children. And this is the tool that they invented. It's called the Wordless Book. This isn't the Wordless Book. There's another one, but another thing that's more like a book. But the Wordless Bracelet, the Wordless T-shirt, whatever. There's no words on it. And so a lot of times they can take this into a closed country Because this isn't a Bible. It doesn't have any words on it. But you could take it in and you can talk about the gospel while you're using this. So first of all, I need you to make your thing look like this. Okay, you're looking at the yellow circle. The yellow circle is helps us think about God. We need to start the gospel by talking about who is God. The idea with a circle, how does a circle have anything to do with God? What do you guys think? He's perfect. Yeah, a circle kind of is, there's no rough edges. It's kind of smooth and perfect in a way. What else? No beginning and no ending. Sure. Yeah, I think that's why it's yellow, is the idea of brightness. The yellow could also have to do with heaven, this idea of streets of gold, a place where it's a perfect place. And so you want to start the gospel by explaining who is God, and this could help you out. Then what you do is you flip this open, and now you're looking at the picture of the heart that's dark. And that is an idea of talking about who we are, our sin. And how would you guys define sin? Actually, I've already got it written there. Anything we think, say, or do that God doesn't like. And so if you were talking to children or adults, for that matter, you'd want to give some specific examples. What are some things that we do that God doesn't like? And then when you realize, oh, I've done something God doesn't like, then you have a lead-in to talk about, well, there's a punishment for that. And when there's... When we've done something God doesn't like, there's a separation, that we have a broken relationship with God because of the sin in our lives. You could talk about sin as being dirty. You could talk about sin as being missing the mark. That's what the Bible talks about it as, missing the mark. If there's a bullseye up on the board and you're trying to throw things at it, if you don't hit it, you've missed the mark. The Bible also talks about transgression. And that's where you have crossed over a line. You are supposed to stay within this boundary, and you have crossed over a line. That's a transgression. Either way, it's a sin. And the next one, I need you to flip it over and look at the red cross, which you can imagine that talks about Jesus. Now, there's a few important points that the children need to understand about who Jesus is. First of all, he's the Son of God. But he was born as a human. We need them to know both of those. Because if you just think that Jesus is the Son of God, or if you just think that he was a human, then the gospel really doesn't work. Also, you need to point out that he lived a sinless life. Because later we talk about him as a sacrifice. Well, how in the world can he be a sacrifice except that he's perfect? And even though he was sinless, he was killed just like a criminal. And when he died, he rose from the dead. Now, sometimes people forget to say that Jesus rose from the dead. And as a result, people think, oh, he's still dead. He's still in the grave. Well, we need to remember, he rose from the dead, and that's one of the ways that proves he was God. Also, flip the doors open, and you should have a white heart, clean heart. I'll emphasize that in a moment. The clean heart shows that after we have trusted in Jesus for forgiving our sins, that our lives are clean. And the punishment for our sins is gone. He cleans our lives, and we have a new start. And then the last one isn't really a particular page, but the outline is all green. And then you think of green, you think of things that are growing. Grass and trees and bushes and flowers. Well, if something is not growing, if it's dead, it's not going to be green. And after a person has started their new, fresh life, then we need to be growing as a new believer, as a child of God. Now, the reason I emphasize that this is a dark heart instead of a black heart, and this is a clean heart instead of a white heart, is because depending on who you're talking to, you may be talking to children of different ethnicities. And if they are African American and they are associated with the color of black, and you say that a black heart is like sin, then that's kind of like saying that they are a sinful culture. And that really kind of messes up the gospel presentation. The opposite is true. If I say that the color white is associated with being pure and clean and perfect, then that sends a message of certain races being superior. Okay? So dark dirty and clean is kind of a better analogy. Okay? So those are what I would consider to be the main points of the gospel. If you're missing any one of those, it really doesn't work. Let me pause for a moment and ask, did you have any questions or any thoughts about this so far?
Do you think a Michael pretty much their age, like 6 to 7, 8, 9 years old, so when I'm talking about this statement, do you think they could understand all? Is it the right time to talk about it?
I think so. Again, it's different for different ages, but I would say that by the age of 5 or 6, every kid should be able to understand this. Unless there's maybe something else going on in their lives, they should be able to understand it. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to accept it. It doesn't mean that they'll like it, but they should be able to understand it. I think it's very appropriate to talk about these kinds of things, but on an age-appropriate level. And so you might talk about sin and just say, hey, that's the things that you do that God doesn't like. And you could give very age-appropriate examples. You could talk about, obviously talking about God and who He is, starting to build that foundation from a young level so that as they grow, these concepts are further developed in their minds. Honestly, as adults, we continue to learn more about these, learning more in depth of who is God and what does it mean to grow as a Christian and what does it mean for Jesus to die on the cross and take our punishment. We can keep growing and learning in those areas. So I think even as young as 3 years old or maybe younger, to be talking about this.
Do you think they were confused because when they saw the heart, they used to think that stands for love. Now you're talking about black heart, white heart. Do they get confused for the very young one?
That's something you kind of have to just watch on your own. If the heart is kind of confusing to them, it doesn't have to be a heart. It could be anything. In the original wordless book, it just had colored pages. No shapes at all. And it was just a red page. That's all it was. And so you talk about it like that. Yep. You can do anything. In fact, the coolest thing I ever saw, I wish I had one of these. It's a pen, a normal pen, and there's a thing that pulls out from it. It's like a sheet that's rolled up inside, and you pull it out. It's really helpful for if you go to countries where, they might recognize this as being gospel related. You pull out the pen, you show your friend, and then you let go, and it's spring-loaded, and it goes back inside. The missions pastor at our church has some of those. Any other questions about this so far? No? This is one method of showing the gospel. Not the only one, but it's one method. And I got this from Child Evangelism Fellowship. On your resource page at the back of your handout, I mentioned that the CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, is a great place for stuff like this. And I'm betting that all of you have a CEF office near your church. I'd encourage you to network with them. So I got this from CEF. I bought this 2 days ago from there. Another thing I got from CEF is this, the counseling tool. Would you pass that back, please? The counseling tool. This kind of goes along with any gospel presentation. Go ahead and open it up. The very first question you see is, why did you come to talk with me? This would be used maybe after a large group time, you've presented the gospel, and then you've said, hey, if any of you have questions, or if you want to trust in Christ today, you can go talk to one of the leaders. Great. Why did you come talk to me? Sometimes the kids really do have questions, and they really do want to become a Christian. Other times, they just have questions about other things. I was doing a presentation on Easter, Palm Sunday, Easter, one of the two. And I was showing a picture of Jesus. He was there. He was on the cross. The other two criminals were there. And it was a very serious time. We were talking about how he died for our sins, and you know the story. So afterward, I invited the kids to stay later, if they had any questions. Great. So one boy stayed, and I was so excited. I was like, yes, he wants to become a Christian. So I said, why did you come talk to me? He said, well, I have questions about the picture that you showed. Okay, fine. So I got the picture, and I held it up. He had noticed a little detail in the picture that nobody else noticed. He noticed that Jesus' hands were tied to the cross instead of nailed to the cross. That was his only question. He was wondering, why are they tied to the cross? I thought it was supposed to be nailed to the cross. Anyway, the point is, ask him, why did you come to talk with me? And then if they say, I have questions, or I want to trust in Christ, then you keep on going down the line. You want to hear from them. You want to hear that they understand the gospel. So why do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? They need to say something about, I know I'm a sinner, I know that Jesus provided the way out, I want to be forgiven. You want to hear them talk about the gospel in a way that they understand it. And so here are some specific questions you could ask them. You could say, well, what is sin? And they need to understand what sin is. You know, who has sinned? Well, we've all sinned. What's God's punishment for sin? And if they can answer those questions, then you want to keep on going. If they don't really know, then that's fine. It's a great time to talk with them about it, but it's not necessarily a time to push for them to be saved. Now, let me give you an example of a time that I really made a huge mistake with pressuring a kid to accept the Lord. And this is not something I'm proud of, but I share it with you so that you can avoid my mistake. I was working at the Awana program. I was probably in high school, and we had a new boy come. His name is Kyle, and he joined our group. So we were doing the handbook time, and the Awana verses talk a lot about the gospel. And so I thought, this is the night he needs to get saved. This is his first night, okay? He had never come to the church. And so I'm using the verses to try to tell him about the gospel, and he was kind of interested, kind of not. And then I started to talk about, you know, what if you die tonight? Where are you going to go? And you see, we grew up in Southern California. There's a lot of earthquakes there. And so you never know when an earthquake's going to happen. And so I'm saying stuff like, what if there's an earthquake and the building falls on us? And what if you're driving home and your car gets crashed? And basically trying to instill a fear that you could die tonight. What are you going to do? And trying to pressure him with the gospel. He still wasn't interested. And so he did something else, and I was doing my thing. After Awana, I said, hey, I want to talk to you. I want to give you one more opportunity tonight to pray and accept the Lord. And finally, he did. Okay? So we prayed together. Guess what? He didn't come back next week. More than that, a few years later, I was working at a Christian camp. I was on staff there, and they had an altar call where they invited the kids to come up front. He was there, and he went up and accepted the Lord again. Because I don't think the first one was very genuine. I think it was me pressuring him out of a good intention, but it really wasn't helpful. And so as you think about counseling children, it's important to see, are they really ready? Are they ready to take this step? And you want to encourage them, but you don't want to pressure them. Anyway, it's just got more questions that you can ask them. I like, on the right side, it has the ABC, the idea of admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus died for your sins and came alive again, and then see his call on Jesus to forgive you. It's kind of a fun way to remember it. More questions just to check their comprehension. And then down here, this is maybe after they have prayed with you to accept the Lord. Here's some follow-up questions. Talking about, will Jesus ever leave you? Talking about, who will help you say no to sin? This kind of goes with the green on your thing. The idea of growing as a person. And then if I do sin, what should I do? I really like on the back of this, go ahead and flip to the back. How can I grow to be more like Jesus? It uses the word grow, G-R-O-W. Go to a Bible-believing church, read the Bible and pray, obey God's word, and then witness tell others how they can be saved from sin. So this is kind of a neat tool you might want to have. You can buy more of these at the CEF store near you. We like to train our youth to share the gospel so that they're ready if the opportunity comes up. Because I've had kids come up to me randomly, okay, randomly, and say, I want to become a Christian. And it's exciting, but it's also like, what do I do? Where's my card? And what are the questions I'm supposed to ask? So it's good to be thinking about it in advance. Any thoughts about all that so far? The counseling tool that I showed you? Any thoughts or questions? Here's a discussion question, and we're going to get back with our partners, or maybe different partners if you want. Some parts of the gospel are a little tricky to understand at first. And we need to recognize what those tricky things are and how to communicate in a way that children understand. So I want you to work with a partner and find one or two parts of the gospel that children may have a hard time understanding and think of a good way to help them understand it. Let me give you an example. For example, like that Jesus was a human and he was the Son of God. How might you help them to understand that? Okay, maybe analogies or maybe good explanations. All right, go ahead and work with a partner or two, and we'll come back in about 5 minutes. I want to hear from each group. Okay, go.